Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 680. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm not really a religious person, but today I was almost killed by Jesus.
And Jeff is here, too.
Oh, boy. Here goes my voice. You know what I'm going to try? I'm going to try restarting it and see if it's if I'm a stable person.
Nice. We're going to lose Jeff for a minute, but Tony, Jesus drove you today?
He did. So I was, so my son's in the hospital and I was getting a lift home. So, you know, I get the message, Jesus has arrived. And so I get in the car with Jesus, and Jesus drives me home. It's the middle of rush hour in D.C. It's like 5:30. So, like, traffic is bad. Jesus doesn't care. Jesus is, like, weaving and dodging all the way from the hospital to my house. So, like, for, like, 25 minutes in the middle of, like, D.C. rush hour, like a madman.
I could see how that would be nightmarish.
Yes, like there were a few moments where I'm just like, we can just sit in traffic for a second here. We don't need to fit into that spot because we could die. There were a couple times I thought we were going to crash. but you know what? I forgot that it was Jesus. Like I was in the car with Jesus. Of course, he's not going to crash.
You had divine protection. Also, like, so I don't know if. I know it's different everywhere, but is Washington, like, you know, you open up the Lyft app or Uber and it's like, this is what it's going to cost you to get you where you're going.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like a taxi where it's like, all right, we'll sit in traffic.
Right.
Because it's going to cost you every 3 minutes.
Nope. The price was the price. It was, I think Jesus was also, because it was like storming today. But, like, I managed to call the Lyft, like, in between storms. So, like, the price was what it normally is. And then it, like, immediately went back up again as soon as I had called the Lyft.
He was trying to
get rid of me so he could get an actual fare that was higher.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Did not appreciate my trip with Jesus. I don't do well with the whole bobbing and weaving and traffic thing. It makes me dizzy for, like, ages.
Jesus makes has me, to make his bread.
It makes me terrified.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife does that on the highway. Like, she sets it to her cruise control to 80 and then just like will ride up on somebody and then fucking go around. I'm like, dude, can we not do this?
So, question for both of you. And Jeff, I'm with you. Like, when my wife drives, like, I don't like it.
She's fine on the streets. It's just the highway. It's just like, dude, why do you have to go this fast? Like,
my girlfriend is great, awesome driver. My ex-wife, thank God I'm not married to her anymore.
When you guys get a lift, do you sit in the front?
No.
Yeah, okay.
It's back, like diagonal from the driver too.
Yeah, so you can see them. Like, and they can see you. Like, if they kind of like out of the corner of their eye. So, like, I'm not behind you. I'm not going to pull out my wire and strangle you.
Nope.
But also, I don't want to be in the front seat with you. No. Like, unless, like, there are like four, like, there's like three
right,
or four.
Right. Unless
you
have too many people for the car. That's.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I will sit with, like, if I get in a lift with my two kids, like, we all sit in the back. Like, I will sit in the middle before I sit in the front.
Understandable. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page and like one of us wasn't a psychopath.
Anyone that does that is a psychopath.
All right. Let's talk some games. Tony, I've been meaning to ask you for the last couple weeks. How goes Dragon Dogma 2?
I haven't played it in a while. I haven't played it in ages. I haven't played it since I got into Fallout. I haven't touched it.
Yeah. That's what I kind of figured that you'd kind of fallen off of it. I beat the original Dragon's Dogma on my Steam Deck and then I jumped into 2 and I'm like, this is the same. It's a pretty game, but it's the same game.
Yes. It is absolutely the same.
Like, I mean, I have not fought any of like the big outside of like that intro area where you fight like what the Gorgon or whatever. I haven't fought any of like the big monsters yet, and I know that they did change some of that because like the Griffin can take off and fly away with you on its back, and you couldn't do that in the first one. But
yeah, you can like climb the enemies and like
made it a little more monster hunter-y.
What class are you?
An archer. So I'm never going to be climbing on anything.
No, I mean I was, and Jeff too were mages.
So like, no climbing. I have Jeff's pawn and your pawn in my party, and like you guys are like 25.
Yeah.
So levels higher than me, and like we come across like a group of goblins, and like I get my bow out, and everybody's already dead.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I won't.
You're gonna get like halfway through the game and not know how to like fight in the combat.
I guess everybody's dead. Like, all right, good job, guys. Keep going. And I wonder because like I got them when I got the game, which was you guys had already been playing for a bit. So your characters are already level. I wonder if like I dismissed your guys and then brought them back if they'd be even higher level. Or
yes, okay. if we've leveled up since then, it would come back at a higher level.
Okay, so like because they're in my game from when I got them,
yeah,
they're kind of like stuck there. But if I go away, come back, like
yeah, I've done that with Jeff's pawn before.
I might do that. Like if I start to get like. Right now, you guys are just, like, giving me experience. It's like I just, like, walk through. It's like, you are now level 6. You are now level 7. All right, that's kind of cool. But I might need to go back and get your leveled up guys at some point. And Jeff, you can answer this, too. Does the enemy variety change up, or is it, like, goblins, harpies? You know, bandits, occasional big enemy.
I don't know.
There are different kinds of goblins. Like you'll run into more advanced ones, more advanced harpy. Like the sort of enemies, like the mix will be the same, but there'll be stronger versions that can do new stuff.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's a little bit more than what the first one did.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of why I fell off. Like the game always kind of felt the same, and then I tried to like switch classes to like freshen it up. But like, there's nothing quite like being like as far into the game as I was, and then starting off a brand new class and having no idea how to play. And fighting like really high level enemies. It's hard.
This isn't going well.
Like, this is not worth it. Like, Archer, bye. Well, I'm going back to age. I can't do this to myself anymore.
Yeah. And as you level up, you level up as a character, but also you level up your vocation.
Yeah.
Leveling up your vocation, like, you get better skills and buffs and stuff. So if you're like jumping in as a level 1 Archer vocation, you don't have like the skills that come along with having.
Well, you're like a level 10 wizard. You're like, I can move mountains, and now I can't do shit. Right.
It's like I'm strong, like I have hit points and stuff, but I am like an idiot with a bow, and that's all I can do is flunk at people. All right. Well, I just wanted to check in, on you on that because that was a big game that I think it hit at the right time.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed my time with it, but I think that time might be over.
That makes sense. Jeff, you hit that point too, right?
I enjoyed my time. I wouldn't say really enjoyed. Like, it's okay. It was something to play. But like Tony, I think I went from that to Fallout and or maybe something else was in between, but yeah, it was really like
you played an actual good game, and you're like, oh right, games are like.
I was like, this is giving me my RPG fix, and I have like no desire to go play that other RPG that I honestly like. I just don't see what other people see in it. Like, I just think it's just okay. Like, it had some okay ideas, like the pawns and stuff. But like,
I think the pawns are cool. I think the darkness is cool. Like, I don't particularly like it, but when it gets dark out, it's fucking dark. Like, you can't see shit.
Yeah.
You go into a cave, you best have a lantern because you're not going to be able to see. And like their day-night cycle is actually pretty neat.
And some of the enemies you run into at nighttime are pretty badass, too. You run into like necromancers and stuff that just you don't see during the day that are really cool.
You guys play more Fallout this week? Was that basically what you guys were into?
I've been playing through the last DLC, the Nuka World one.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, so you joined forces with groups of raiders. And it's like you're heading through Nuka World and like taking it over, and like there's these three groups of raiders, and you like assigning these raiders to these areas of Nuka World that you're taking over. But once you take over the whole park, the raiders are like, we need to keep expanding. And so you can bring the raiders back to the Commonwealth and like take over settlements with them. So it gives you this quest as you're going along to take over a settlement. And it lets you like pick which one. And I picked some random one that I hadn't yet like found. I hadn't gotten there. And you literally attack the settlement and kill everyone who's there, and then the raiders take it over. So I was like, okay, I'll try the quest. I'll do that. As soon as like, so I attack this. It's a lighthouse. It's actually held not by like normal settlers, but by the Children of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So me and this group of raiders attack the settlement. We kill everyone. We raise the raider flag at the end, and then I get a message. Preston hated that. And then Preston hates you.
Oh, no.
I'm immediately like, well, since I want the Minutemen to be with me as I attack the
your end game faction,
and the end game, I'm like, oh, all right, reload, save. I guess we're not doing that. So my completion of Nuka World is on pause until I actually I have to flip it around and I have to beat the game, and then I can go back and finish this DLC.
Got it.
Because I want Preston to be on my side. I want him to be with me. Preston hates you now. Oh, no. Oh, no. I've made a terrible mistake.
Oops.
Sorry, Preston.
Glad we have time travel.
These are the Children of Adam. You don't care about them, do you? Apparently he does.
Yes, he clearly does.
Well, I like a bunch of the settlements on the list that I could have picked were ones I had already like I already owned the workshops for. Like I'd already built stuff at all of those settlements and had like, you know, things that I could have attacked my own settlement.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's obviously a bad thing. I can't do that. So I'm gonna go with this random one. Well, it didn't matter.
Well, so now you're gonna finish up that main quest.
Yeah, so I've actually gone back. We've assembled our Minuteman army. We're gonna attack now.
All right.
Happen.
Did you build your teleporter?
That's all done.
Yeah, that was a pain in the ass because I was not building most of the game. I was like, God damn it!
I had all of the pieces to it already.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
that quest took me like 5 minutes.
I was like, because again, I was not messing with the, you know, the building stuff, and I'm like,
yeah,
how the fuck do I wire this shit up? Like, it was learning moment for me, but I did Frankenstein together.
I built a giant nuclear reactor. Because had all the pieces. I had all like the, because those parts to the teleporter require like special pieces that you can only find in certain areas, but I had them all already.
Yeah, I had to go hunting. I was like stuck on that quest for a while and like thinking about just quitting, but it wasn't too much work. There was just a few things I needed to grab, you know. But yeah, then yeah, I'll be interested to hear how it goes for you.
Final battle update maybe next week.
That's right, and then I can talk about how Preston now hates me because. Sorry, Preston.
Jeff, you play anything? You had already finished Fallout 4, so
yeah,
you're off your Fallout kick now.
Yeah, you know, I went with the Minutemen and killed everybody, and then like I was playing for like a day or so after that, and then I guess I'm done now. I've just been playing Vampire Survivors, dude. Like, I keep getting new shit in it. Like, I keep finding like new adventures to do. Fucking, I still have like over 100 unlocks in the main game to do. More characters. I even found more DLC. There's an Among Us DLC that I somehow missed.
Oh.
The game is like
endless. I don't think I played it though.
It is endless, dude. I did not. I think yeah. There's an adventure mode with that. I did not like it at all. But you know, you get the characters or unlock the characters and their weapons and stuff in the main game and the other adventures. That game is just like I cannot believe. Like go back to when it first came out, and then like you thought you beat the game, like or at least in my case, I thought I beat the game, and it's like no, dude, you've like scratched the surface. There's fucking like a million levels, dude. Like it's so fucking good. Like it like never gets old. I don't know. One of the best
games ever. It's fantastic. And then like the fact that you can get the base game and all the DLC, and I still think it's less than like 15, 20 bucks.
Yeah, probably less. Yeah. Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of hours of gameplay.
It's just so fun. And like yeah, once I hit a wall. Well, now I'm playing it on Xbox because I bought all the DLC for both. Because, like you said, it's a great deal.
Yeah.
But now I'm back on Xbox because I'm chasing achievements in the game. Like literally, like we just did a run before this podcast,
mm-hmm.
and we unlocked fucking 5 achievements in one run in a game that I've probably put, I don't know, 100 hours into. Like, how the fuck is that?
Yeah, I mean that game has a. I think like the base game itself had like a crazy amount of like achievements,
hundreds.
Yeah, 160 in the base game, and then no, 140 in the base game, and they've added 71 more since then.
It's kind of a bummer to me that the Contra DLC
doesn't have any.
It might be the only one that doesn't have any.
Yeah.
I mean, it has like the in-game stuff, but yeah, you just don't get anything to pop for your gamer score.
Yeah, which is kind of like, since they added them for everything else, like it's kind of a shame.
I don't get why they didn't do that, but
there's probably some weird legal loophole somewhere.
It's gotta be, because again, they're in the game, so it's just like, why don't you just make some of them actual achievements as well, but...
Yeah, and it's not like, oh, you know, you've maxed out the amount of achievements because like something like a Master Chief Collection has, I think that they're up like around 400 or 500 achievements that you can get in that game, and so it's not like they hit a limit.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't get it. But that DLC is also really great. All the weapons. Did you get that DLC?
I did. I've not played the Contra one yet, though.
Some of the weapons and the secondary weapons you get are fucking awesome. There's even one of the secondary weapons is an ammo box that automatically levels up one of your weapons and gives you one revival. Like, I don't know. There's so much shit. And I love, like, kind of mixing. Like, say you do it, like, play through the adventure mode of the Contra shit.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the end of that, you open up a shop that lets you buy weapons from other DLCs or the main game. So like, you know, when you're playing the Contra adventure mode, you don't have like garlic or the Bible and stuff, but eventually you can buy, like you can start buying that shit, which also gives you like something to do with all the fucking money you have after a while. It's just like, I'm going to unlock the weapons for every facet of this game. It's every other facet.
Yeah, because you have so much cash.
Yeah.
At some point that it's like, I can't even, there's nothing else to buy. I bought everything.
Yeah, yeah, once you've leveled everything up, it's like, it becomes meaningless. But then once you open up these shops and the DLCs and a lot, you know, allows you to like, just create chaos and just build your arsenal of there's like, dude, when you think about it, like, I don't know how many weapons there were when the game first came out, but this is like, I don't know, dozens and dozens of them now.
And you've gone back, I guess you're prepping for Elden Ring DLC. I think you said in the group chat that you found some stuff that you hadn't seen before.
No, it was on the new game. I'm on New Game Plus Plus.
Okay.
I want to say with this character, and it was just I had assumed that I had just like, you know, tapped out the world, like got done everything on that playthrough, and I was just, you know, fucking around. But no, like there was some of the harder areas I had left undone. This won't mean anything to you guys, but like Castle Soul, for some reason I had not gone there, and the hardest area, Haligtree, I had understandably avoided because I don't like the place. But I was like, there is stuff for me to poke around. Like, that's the thing, is like, at a certain point you're like, do I keep fucking around in this new game, or do I do a new game plus, you know, because reset everything and you start to run out of things to do, right?
Right.
But like, and I don't want, another reason I don't want to do it is I'm worried about the DLC and the difficulty, because so I'm gonna be going into the DLC on New Game Plus, and from what I understand, it's pretty hard. Yes, I'm a high level character, but like, again, I don't want to like make it even harder on myself by starting a new game. Plus, as I understand it, to access the DLC, it's an area that like pretty deep into the game. So if you start a new game plus, whatever, like
you can't get there right away.
Yeah. So like this area you can get to early on in the game if you do this particular side quest, which I always do. Because it gets you to like the farming spot I always show you guys, where it's just like it's right by the farming spot where the DLC is going to be. And so like again, there's a way to get magically teleported there early in the game if you do this this kind of like lengthy side quest. But the problem is, it's been so long since I've played Elden Ring that I don't remember the steps to do it. Like, I'd have to look up a guide of how to do it. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to make the game even harder for me going into it. I mean, I'm a level 271 character, but I'm still a little worried. I'm excited for this DLC though.
And that, when is that?
That's like 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Like
21st.
Like the back 3rd of June.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
it's so close. You guys, cause I doubt you guys watched the previews or like
I mean, I saw like whatever the reveal trailer was, but
yeah,
I didn't like look into it seriously. No,
yeah, GameSpot put out a like a 15-minute preview, you know, showing stuff, and you know, one cool thing is it's like hundreds of new weapons that, you know, could really change your play style, and you could carry those weapons back into the main game. So like, there's a lot of like potential fun there, right?
Yeah.
But this guy says like he has never stopped playing Elden Ring since it came out, and that, you know, in the time that he played of the DLC, he was not able to kill any of the bosses yet. So, scary. Reddit, come to my rescue.
And is that I wonder if that's because of like, you know, what you were just saying, where, you know, he's in like New Game plus.
I don't know. He didn't specify any of that.
That's kind of wild that like you can inadvertently make the DLC harder by like having continued to play the game that you know you were already playing.
What is cool though is if let's say there's someone playing and they're stuck on a boss and they're just playing new game, like they're just playing the you know it's their first run through.
Yeah,
they've gotten to the DLC and they need help with a boss. I should be able to walk in there and fucking destroy, just like blast a beam and fucking kill the boss for them. So that'll be fun for me.
Like I could summon you into my game now and like everything would just basically die at your hands.
like they do scale you down a little bit so that I'm within some sort of range of your character, but it's still it's just the weapons at my disposal, you know what I mean, the spells I could cast, it doesn't matter. Fucking I thought it was funny like the one time you did summon me, I fucked up and died or something. Like I had some easy ass boss.
Yeah, I think we were fighting that wolf thing or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the training level down on the south part of the map that like
we kept getting our asses kicked.
Yeah, well, I think I just kind of fucked up and also kind of underestimated him because I know how like powerful I am, and you know, if any enemy if they catch you slipping, you could get hurt. You know.
Yeah.
So that's what. It just kills me that I like died to that fucking boss of all bosses, like the easiest fucking boss.
Tony, did you get to play anything else? I know it's been a busy, rough week. So
no, not really. No.
All right. So well, I mentioned it last week. I've been playing Mad Max. Played more of it. That game is a perfectly fine 7 out of 10.
I meant to buy it when it was on the sale.
Yeah, I don't think it is anymore. But, like, I, you know, it's third person. A lot of the combat is hand to hand. It's like very Arkham style. And it's an open world game from like a decade ago. So it's very much like, here's the map. Here is a bunch of things to go do on the map. Like, you know, here's these things I think they call them, I don't know. They're like these little towers that you can put your grapple hook on and tear them down. And doing that like lowers the influence of the war boys in the area. Then there's like sniper towers. So like you can take out, you can either like rip down the whole tower or you can use your sniper rifle that you have your little mechanic buddy build you. You can like shoot them down. And then there's minefields that you can clear. Like, so there's like all these activities. Like any open world standard game, better. Yeah. And some of them, like some of the stuff's fun. Like, some of it's like whatever. But the car, like just having the car to drive around in the wasteland is pretty cool. And you can collect cars basically. Like you can take the cars of the other, like the enemies and stuff. And you can bring them back and you can drive those around if you want. And they actually act as camouflage, or you can use it as like to get into bases a little bit easier instead of you rolling up in your car. So like some of that stuff is neat. But just like the act of driving through the wasteland is pretty cool and fun. So I've been having fun just kind of doing that. The only other thing that I really touched was I got a review code for a game called Hypercharged Unboxed. And it's been out for a while on Steam, but it just came to Xbox and I guess PlayStation. And it is a first or third person shooter. You play from either perspective, but it's like a tower defense type thing where you play as a toy and then other toy, like you're, so I think the first level is like the tutorial level is in a toy store and like it teaches you how to like jump and stuff, but then like the base part of the game is there's these towers and you then can set up defenses at them and then waves of enemies that are like toys, like little army men and
what is this called,
little dinosaurs. It's called Hypercharged Unboxed. Okay. And it's not great, but you know, it scratches like that kind of like itch of I like the aesthetic of playing as a toy in like an oversized world. I think one of both you and I, Jeff, we really like the level in Duke Nukem Forever where they shrink down. So it's like that. Like you're this like that. You are in first person mode, but everything is like giant and there's some like cool platforming. There's like jump pads. There's a whole bunch of like collectibles to find.
I'm looking at screenshots. There's like a level in a kitchen and in a garage and in a, like a backyard.
Yeah, so like, they're all like that type of stuff. It's like if you were a kid playing with toys, but you are the toy. So it's like Toy Story, but a shooter.
You know, you might enjoy Pikmin.
Yes, I do enjoy Pikmin. Like the Pikmin 4 is quite delightful.
Oh, you played it? How did I not remember this?
Tony played it too, I believe.
I know Jeff
was drunk.
I knew Tony had played it, but for some reason I didn't think you got the game.
Yeah, I got it.
You get when it came out?
Yeah, and you get the cute little dog. And
did any of you guys beat the game?
I did not beat it. I made it to like the second big area.
Tony? Tony, are you with us?
Oh, no. Did we lose Tony?
I don't know.
I had to sneak in and do something. I did not beat it, but I watched my kids beat it. And my son, like, played it obsessively. Like, he kept playing through, like, the post-game content.
Yeah, so, like, forever. I know we've discussed this, but, like, after you beat the game, there's, like, a whole other game. Like,
yeah.
There, like, I think the main game is, like, 4 levels, but then you end up unlocking, like, 3 more levels. So it's basically twice the size of the game, and you get other modes. Like, you get the one mode where it's, like, if you could play it like Pikmin 1, where you actually only have 15 days to see how much you could do. Like, God, the game was... That might be due for a revisit at some point when there's no games for me to play.
Isn't that, like, right now?
I'm so close to Elden Ring. I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess I could do it for, like, 2 weeks. But I'm like...
Somehow... You're, like, in the Elden Ring zone now. You're, like, Elden Ring needs to be here.
I'm circling it, and on top of it, like... Vampire Survivors has really done well at keeping me busy with something to play every night.
Yeah, Pikmin's great. And it's this Hypercharge game, quite fun too. It's enjoyable enough for what it is. And I want to fight the T-Rex. There's a T-Rex in it. I'm going to get and fight that one.
You guys remember Army Men?
Yeah.
I used to love that game on 64. But last time I tried to play it, I was like, oh my God, this is unplayable.
Some of those older games.
It was a bad port, I think.
Yeah, but back in the day, it was just like...
PC game.
Yeah. Just control-wise, I remember it was really hard going back to it. But a lot of games from the 64 era, like control-wise now, you're just like, what the fuck is this?
Well, when you look at that N64 control, you're like, how did it get my hands to do that?
That is one of that is maybe the most insane controller. I mean, it gave us the analog stick, but like the rest of it is just like what
is awful. It's awful. Yeah. It's like the two controllers that were awful. I also don't like the original NES controller. Because it's like
it's fine for what it was.
Great, it's not rounded, so it like ends up hurting your hands after a while.
Yeah, it's very weird that it's like sharp edged.
Yeah,
it was early days. Yes. Man.
I don't. Sega also had the Master System had weird square. Controllers. They both fixed it with their 16-bit curved edges. Ways to go.
What do you guys prefer, the Genesis controller or Super Nintendo?
In terms of base controller, the Super Nintendo controller. But
great.
Yeah.
The 6-button Genesis controller is pretty fantastic.
I just don't like I like the shape of the Genesis controller, kind of, but I don't like how the D-pad
or the buttons feel. The D-pad is like that pad. It's an actual pad. Like,
yeah, and I don't like... Like, the buttons are kind of like arcade style, you know what I mean? Where it's just like in a row. I don't like that as much.
I mean, ultimately, the Super Nintendo controller is the model that everyone followed, right? Because, the Xbox controller is, different. There's a lot of different buttons on it, but that face button placement is from the Super Nintendo.
And shit, the shoulder buttons, they came up with that.
Yep. Army Men, lots of games. I didn't realize it had as many games.
Oh, there's a lot.
Series.
I think I might have only had one or two of them. I think there was more than one on the 64, but whatever the fucking main one was on 64, I actually played a ton of.
Sarge's Heroes was the first one. Yeah. There were actually three N64 games. So there were Sarge's Heroes Air Attack, and then Sarge's Heroes 2.
I think I maybe just had Sarge's Heroes. I don't know.
Maybe it's time to bring Army Men back.
I'd be down, just not that game. Like, make a new one.
Yeah. do something new. They haven't done anything on an actual system since 2008. They did two mobile games since then, but nothing big since 2008. Anyway, Hypercharge Unbox, that game seems pretty cool. I'm going to keep poking away at it. Let's see. Some news happened this week.
Summer Game Fest.
Yeah, let's kick it off with Summer Games Fest, which is tomorrow. I guess the first part of Summer Games Fest is tomorrow. And I'm not sure why this is news, but it came out that Summer Games Fest charges, they charge for, having your trailer in the show. And it was $250,000 for a minute trailer, $350,000 for a minute and a half, $450,000 for 2 minutes, and then $550,000 for a 2.5 minute spot.
No wonder Keeley has more money than Cliffy B.
Does he? I didn't realize that.
He apparently said something where he was like bragging that he had more money than Cliffy B.
Okay. I mean, that's a weird thing to brag. I got more money than you, dude. I just found it like odd that people were surprised.
Yeah, right. It's like buying airtime during the Super Bowl. It's the same idea. Like,
right. You got
all these people watching this thing.
And it's like, I mean, it's the Super Bowl of video game news. Like, this, and he has positioned himself perfectly for it, right? He swept in after E3, kind of imploded on itself. People still need a spot to advertise.
Yeah.
And he had already positioned himself really well with his Game Awards show.
Yeah.
I don't like his stuff. I think the Game Awards is a terrible show. Like, I don't think it's a very, it's not what it is.
It sucks. Right? It's not an awards show. It's a bunch of trailers and there are awards happening somewhere.
Yes. But in terms of like the trailers and in terms of like the production value of that show, it's not cheap.
No. Did people think he was doing this out of the goodness of his heart? I don't understand.
Right. Like, he's clearly he's trying to make some money. He also has, like, it's not just like, I know we always like, Jeff Keighley, like, he's the savior of games. No, like, Summer Games Fest and whatever corporation he's running in the back there are big. Like, he has a staff that works for him. They need to get paid too. So, very weird. Jeff, I think you commented, and I don't know who posted it in the chat. It might have been might have been Walt, but about us not getting super excited for the Summer Games Fest show.
Oh, that was me. Because Keeley was like getting down on his own show. He's like, we're not showing new games. It's very, very, very odd, and how he seemed like.
Don't expect anything too big, right? Right.
Like, why are you shooting yourself? Why okay. say this before the show? I don't understand what you're doing. Unless the show is bad, unless there's not like nothing this year to show off. But he was like listing off the games that won't be shown. Like, oh, all these great games. No, they're not here.
I mean,
no GTA 6. Sorry.
You know, expectations set, lowered. Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
well, you know, everyone's doing shows though, right? It's like not just him. Like, we're basically going into E3, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, Keeley's show is tomorrow. Microsoft's show is Sunday. And I guess we can jump into that. Supposedly, okay. that is going to could run up to 2 hours long. With somewhere around the neighborhood of 30 games being shown.
Yeah, great. Well,
can they release some of them ever?
Yeah. My patience is wearing thin.
Apparently, they're gonna the rumor is they're gonna shadow drop something.
Yes, that is the rumor.
Oh, really? As well.
Get ready for Ara History Untold. Get ready. I'm going to get my nice strategy game. You guys are going to be like, what the fuck is this Shadow Drop?
It's like, this is not what you guys needed to do.
Are we going to see anything of these games that were announced like 5 years ago? And like, what? Like, wasn't that like a cool Rare game that was supposed to come?
Everwild?
Yeah. What the fuck happened with that? Is that even a game anymore?
I don't know. Let me see. I will let you know.
Did you guys see the report that Perfect Dark is in bad shape? Like, yes. Shocker.
I don't know how you fuck that up, right? It's like, just make another fucking Perfect Dark. Like,
I don't know.
Everwild is still in production, Jeff.
Supposedly.
It is. I think Earl brought this up maybe on a show you missed, but that game has been in development. It wasn't announced until 2019, but it has been in development since 2014.
Boy.
This is part of the problem with Xbox, right? Like, they showcased that game in 2019. It has been 5 years since you debuted it, said it was coming. Like, you can't do that. At some point, you need to deliver on the shit that you've said you're making. And that's
part of the problem for me. There's been so many games like that, I feel like, from them. Like,
yeah. Like, how many showcases do we watch? You go, yeah, all that stuff's really cool. And then, like, we're still waiting for that stuff.
You guys remember that one? It was like an RPG that I think Platinum Games was going to make.
Yes. The one with the dragon, Scalebound.
Scalebound.
Yeah.
I remember when they got canceled. Well, I read that basically like Platinum Games took money from Microsoft to make this game, and they were basically just using it to pump out their other games.
Yeah, and then everyone got angry at Xbox when finally Microsoft was like, hey,
that's wild, dude.
People aren't producing anything. We're killing this game. And then people got all upset at that. But yes, that was the report. I think they said that didn't happen, but seems likely to me. I don't know.
There was something else. Did they announce a new Fable?
Yes.
They did. What year?
I will tell you when the new one was announced.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. It feels like it was last year, but maybe it was like 5 years ago at this point, like the other one.
Oh, let's see. So, 2020 It was shown at the Xbox Game Showcase in 2020.
Yeah, what's going on, dude? Seriously, like, I get games take the time to make, but it's been 4 years.
And they had been working on it 2 years prior to that.
Yeah.
Yep.
What the fuck, dude?
I don't know. But, yeah, you got to stop showing stuff and going, yeah, look at all this cool stuff that's coming, because, like, you're not delivering any of the cool stuff.
I delivered shit, man. And it's not to do this rant over and over. It's not just them. It's not like they're the only
ones.
But they are kind of the most egregious to me, though, just because you bought, like, the entire industry up. And instead of, like, that, you know, paying off in lots of cool games on Xbox, it's just like they're chopping the fucking, they're just closing the studios. Like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
And the studios that actually delivered
games. Yeah, the ones that actually produced a game.
Like, quality or not, like, Arcane delivered you a game. and then, like, you know, whether you guys liked Hi-Fi Rush or not, like, it was critically acclaimed.
It was a hit.
Yeah,
people liked it. There were people out there who liked that game.
Yeah, which is fine, right? Like, we don't have to like every game, but, like, people did like it, and then you're like, no, we're gonna shut you guys down. Like, what's going on here? Like, these people are delivering. And yes, from a business standpoint, I do understand, right? Like, so we're gonna shut these guys down because it's going to take another 3 or 4 years for them to produce something else. So on the chopping block, it's like, you know, we're going to cut these people because we need to get our numbers in order now. We need to fake our margins or whatever. But it's still like, why you're shutting down teams that are actually delivering games. Like, what if Fable never comes? I guess we're getting Avowed this year, supposedly.
I was just going to say, I was literally waiting to say it. I was like, at the very least, that's like in October or something, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. I like RPGs, and that's Obsidian, right? So.
Yep, it's Obsidian. I like
them. Yeah, I'm into that.
That's another one that was debuted at the 2020 Xbox Games Showcase.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like I get it, games take a long time, but some of that I guess has to be on Xbox then. Like, don't reveal your shit so early, because now we're waiting for it and you don't have anything. What do you guys expect out of that Xbox showcase?
I don't know. It's like, it could be like we just do the same thing again, where it's like we just announce a bunch of games that are fucking years out, and it's all smoke and mirrors, and it's like it was an exciting show, but then at the end of the day, you're like, wait a second, what's coming out for this system that I bought? Like,
the big rumor is the Xbox handheld, right?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that. I don't follow the
gaming. Phil Spencer's been dropping hints. He's like, I like handhelds. They're great.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is that's the big rumor, I guess, that they will showcase a handheld. We're not sure what that means. I guess we will find out on Sunday, but is it a handheld like the PlayStation Portal is a handheld, or is it like a portable Series S?
I bet it's more on the lines of like a Steam Deck. Because Microsoft already makes a bunch of PCs. It wouldn't shock me for them to go in that kind of direction. Their own, you know.
And I think it has to be priced around the Steam Deck too, though, right? Like,
yeah.
It needs to be comparable price-wise to that. Because some of those other handheld PCs, like the ROG Ally, and there's one from Lenovo, those are almost $1,000 a piece. Like, Xbox can't come out and be like,
no,
hey, we got this cool thing. It's $1,000, guys.
How much is a Steam Deck?
depends on which one you get, but they range from like 400 to 550, I think.
So not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, they're not cheap, but like they're more expensive than a Switch, but they're also, you know, more powerful.
Yeah, modern games. Yeah.
Let's see. So yeah, they have.
Oh yeah, there's like three versions of the Steam Deck.
Yeah, LCD one is $400, and the OLED one is $550, and then the OLED with the terabyte is $650. I think you have to hit that $400 price point, though.
Mm.
Or at the very least, like you have to be some. You have to hit that middle one. You can't be like we have a $650 handheld.
You guys really think there's any merit to this?
The handheld, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It goes along with, like, I don't think it'll be like this is our driving focus. I think it's just like here's another way for people to play.
Yeah. I could see it. Yeah, I guess
Game Pass in your hands.
Yeah. And you know, you from right there, you could have like, you know, your ecosystem is already on the machine, so you don't have to go somewhere else to
buy. I would consider it, except for the fact that like I really don't like. I'd say the Switch, I play it 90%, maybe even 95% in docked mode. You know,
yeah, there are people though that do play.
Oh, for sure. You know,
I'm with you, Jeff. Although I have seen, I've seen myself starting to play a little bit more handheld wise with the Switch, just because like the games I'm currently playing on it, like, you know, Super Mario RPG, like it's stuff where you have to grind a little bit. So, like, I'm watching TV,
yeah,
while I'm doing that.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. Yes, sometimes I will play when I'm watching TV, but not often. Like, because I'm often like I feel like I'm gonna miss something.
Yeah,
even if it's like football or something. I'm like, well, I guess that is probably the case where I would, because you know you're not gonna really miss anything because there's just always be replays and shit. Like oh, something happened. You look up, they'll play it again. Like.
Oh, and like, well, football in particular, right? Like, the play happens.
Yeah, you get
then it's like you have another minute or so
yeah.
before anything else happens. So, I don't know. I'm interested in it. I don't know if it's something I'm going to jump at, but
it's something I would consider just because I own so many Xbox games. You know, it would be kind of cool. Like, shit, yeah. Man. You know, well, I just thought it in my head. Handheld Elden.
Right. Like, well, and that's
that would be wild.
That's something that I like with the Steam Deck is like,
yeah,
Elden Ring,
but like I can load up games and like I mean I assume Elden Ring runs on, I don't know, but like, yeah, you know, I've been playing games from like 4 or 5 years ago on it when I'm out. Like, mm-hmm. If the kids are at practice for something, like I'm in the car and I can just play in the car for the 40 minutes I'm waiting or whatever. And that would be cool. Like if I could, you know, I could take Mad Max with me with my handheld Xbox and play it that way too. That would be neat. So what do you guys think is the shadow drop?
That rare game. I don't think it's that.
No, it's gonna be our history untold. I'm telling you. The rest.
I can see it being
fuck
just something,
Tony.
I'm gonna hunt you down, Tony. If that is the game,
I can see it being something kind of random like that, or like just something new that you haven't, you know, you couldn't predict, like kind of like how what the fuck was the Tango game.
High five rush,
like something like that. I don't know.
I I think you both are probably right. It's probably something like Aura or something like Hi-Fi Rush, which is like a smaller game from one of their studios. Maybe it's just because like the forums I frequent and stuff, but some people are speculating that it is the long rumored Marcus Fenix collection, and they would shadow drop that after the premiere of Gear 6.
Wait, what is that? Like, is it just a re-release of all the Gears games?
So it would be like the Master Chief Collection, but for Gears, like where you'd have all of them in one. It would be a new package, and you'd have all like they'd probably do like the 360 games. Maybe is this something in 4 and 5.
Is this something we know exists, or is
no? It's something that's been long rumored.
Yeah, and that's probably a solid rumor. I could see that being true.
Yeah, like they did it for Gear. They did it for Halo. Like, it kind of makes sense to do like a new release, bundle it all together, and it would give you a new multiplayer. You know, it would spice up your Gears multiplayer, which has kind of died with 5. Like, nobody's really playing it at that point. But if Gear 6 isn't coming this fall, you could get people playing and excited for Gears with, you know, by releasing the entire series again in a package, have like new achievements for people to go for, new multiplayer stuff, new skins and stuff for people to earn. I could see it. I think you guys are probably right. But
you know what it's going to be? It's going to be Hollow Knight Silk Song. That's what it'll be.
Okay. Supposedly that's coming to Game Pass, so that makes sense.
I mean, are you guys aware of like like every fucking show that there's been for like the last 3 years, the Hollow Knight fans are like, now they're gonna show Silk Song. Yes. Now they're gonna tell us like when it's coming out or whatever, you know.
To the point where people are like going with the Switch, like Switch ones are like, this is the one. It's like,
yes,
except like it's been announced that it's coming to Game Pass, so it makes sense that they would give Microsoft.
If it was that, it would be wild because like these people are so like, you know, I sympathize with them. I don't really like Hollow Knight, but you know, I feel bad for them. They want it so bad. It's nothing for years.
Yeah, it's been 2 years. Like they expected it 2 years ago, and it's been year after year. Mm-hmm. And now we're halfway through this year. It's still nothing. And I guess we know Call of Duty is like, I guess that kind of was revealed. Black Ops 6 will be coming to Game Pass. There's some sort of Black Ops showcase after the Xbox showcase. I don't really think you need a Call of Duty showcase. Like, well, what are you going to show?
What could possibly be like interesting? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like Call of Duty, but it's just like...
Right.
Like, it is a known quantity. Like, we know what it is.
This is the sixth entry in a spin-off franchise of your franchise. Like, it is the sixth
when Black was Ops there, game. When was there a Black Ops 5? I remember
that was Black Ops... That was Cold War.
Oh, I guess you're right. It was Black Ops Cold War.
Yeah,
so they always think of it as Cold War. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because there was Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which was a mess. That did not have a single player campaign in it.
Four. Yeah.
And so then they kind of like. They cycled back on it and were like, oh, well, I guess people do like the single player. And they did Cold War.
I liked Cold War, man.
Yeah.
You played that?
Yeah, Cold War's really good.
I fucking dug it.
Actually, I think everything since Black Ops 4 has been pretty good. Because that was Modern Warfare, the redo of Modern Warfare, Cold War, Vanguard, Modern Warfare 2.
I think Vanguard's underappreciated. I thought that was solid. Yeah. Modern Warfare 2 was the shit. Really good. I just didn't play the one, what was last year? Modern Warfare 3?
Modern Warfare 3, yeah.
I've not played that one. And it, that one did get, like, kind of bad reviews. But then some of the other ones I've liked kind of did, too. I was like, what are you talking about? The campaign's awesome in this, you know?
Yeah, people didn't like Vanguard. I really liked Infinite Warfare. Like I liked the campaign in that one. Maybe not the multiplayer so much, but I thought the campaign in Infinite Warfare was fun.
Is that older?
Yeah, that was that's the space one. Do you remember that one with
was it the Kevin Spacey one?
No, that's Advanced Warfare. This is so dumb.
What was the one that we're talking about called?
Infinite Warfare.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. Infinite Warfare is the one with Jon Snow. He was the villain. I can't think of his name. Kit Harington.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty old now, yeah. Game.
Yeah, that was, you know, 2016. Like, yeah. Games old. So I thought that single player was really neat, and you got to fly, like, spaceships and shit. So, yeah, I don't know. Call of Duty's fun. I just don't know, like, what are you going to show in Black Ops 6 that is, like, so revolutionary you need its own showcase?
Yeah, I mean, maybe there is
something really cool. You never know. Like,
you're right. You're right, Tony.
Why are we shitting on this before it happened? I mean,
you're right. Like, we should wait to shit on it.
We can shit on it afterwards and be like, why the fuck did this game have its own showcase? It didn't make any sense.
It's just, what are you going to do? Anything you're going to do, it's going to still be Call of Duty. You know what I mean? Like,
who knows?
You can't change it.
There's going to be something so awesome in this showcase that Chris is going to be embarrassed that he just said that. That's what we're going to hope for. Right? And then when it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
This is the 21st Call of Duty game. I mean, it's like Madden. It would be like Madden.
Like Madden. Exactly like Madden.
Like,
did you see him snap that ball? Yes. Yes. He hit the A button. Look at him. Look at him go.
I mean, even EA, like, they kind of stopped spending like 10 minutes on Madden at their events because it was like, yeah, it's fucking football. We did some new animations, I guess. Like, that's cool, right?
It's not worth blowing any part of your marketing budget on that kind of thing anymore.
It's right. I mean, I guess, whatever. All right, we can shit on it next week.
We can. Absolutely, we can.
So, yeah, that's what we have in store for the weekend is not E3 is kicking off. So.
Is Nintendo doing a show?
Oh, that's a good question. They did say they were having a Direct, but I don't know. Let's see, where to watch the June Direct? We don't know much about the June 2024 Nintendo Direct. So... yes, we do know there is one because the president of Nintendo. So this is where it kind of came out that the Switch 2 is not going to be revealed at it because he was like they're going to make an announcement on the successor of the Switch within this fiscal year, and they'll be holding a Direct in June, but it won't feature the Switch successor in it. So, so we know one's happening. We just don't know when in June. And Nintendo is one of those companies that, like, they could come out Tuesday and be like, Direct is on Thursday.
Yeah.
So
it's coming next week, though. We assume.
It's got. Yeah, I would think so. They're probably going to wait in the end. June. Yeah, this week or next week, I would think.
Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah.
Thoughts? Speaking of games that were announced a decade ago.
I think you release it this fall.
Okay.
I don't know, like, do you think Metroid Prime 4 is a game that you launched the Switch 2 with?
No.
Exactly. So are you gonna shelve it to like?
I'm just not entirely. Year? I just don't know if I'm done. I just don't believe if it's real. I feel like it's in development hell.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, at some point it is because it was because they fucking scrapped the whole game.
They scrapped it and gave it back to Retro.
Who should have been working on it in the first place? Who do they have? Like fucking Namco or. What the fuck did they have on that? Like. It was some like. You're just like, I don't know if I want them touching it. Like.
We developed. Well, not confirmed. It. Bandai Namco.
Yeah, and it's like. I was always iffy about that to begin with. And then they wasted years on that and fucking. Oh, we'll give it to Retro. They might know how to make this game. Yep, it's been years since that.
Like, yeah, so. Do you want the timeline, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. Let's fucking.
Metroid Prime 4 was announced in 2017.
Okay.
Yeah. In 2018, Reggie, it's been a while because he was still giving, he was still saying stuff. He was saying it was well into development and proceeding well, but it wasn't shown that year. And then in January of 2019, it was announced that production had been restarted under Retro Studios.
And what year, 2019?
2019.
Jesus
Christ. And that was it. So it has been in production at Retro for 5 years now.
Yeah, like it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. Like, I think it's kind of bullshit that they're like leaving us hanging on it. Like, just say, sorry, that, you know, I don't know. I guess it will happen eventually, right? They did do that Metroid Dread.
Yeah, and which is their most successful Metroid game ever. So
amazingly, and that was like out of nowhere. No one was expecting that. Like, oh, fucking a new 2D Metroid game. Like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Unfortunately, I do not like that game very much.
But I didn't love it either. Which is a shame because I do like 2D Metroid.
I know.
And they did remaster it last year, so. I think
it's still in a mix, I guess, right?
I think if you're going to launch the Switch 2 next year and it's not a game that you think you launch alongside the Switch 2, and maybe it is, maybe it's not the game, maybe like you have a new Mario game, whatever the Odyssey sequel is.
They're going to launch.
Maybe Metroid is alongside that. Like, it's the secondary title. I could see that.
I could see, like, first 3 months. I don't think they've launched
with two games. Yeah.
Two games that big. I think that, you know what's going to launch the Switch 2? The new F-Zero. That's going to be the game that everyone buys the Switch 2 for.
Okay.
I just like to get. I'm fucking with Hollow Knight fans, F-Zero fans. I'm fucking with all y'all tonight.
I mean that's a reach right there.
If I believe it's dead because like they did that F-Zero. What the fuck?
99.
Yeah. Although that is probably fairly easy to develop, and you know, so yeah. Who knows? I'd love to see. I joke, you know, I was poking at F-Zero fans, but I actually would be happy to see a new one. That'd be great.
Did you guys catch the Bloomberg article about Suicide Squad?
No, I haven't catched anything about Suicide Squad.
About how badly it was developed. Like,
yeah. Why did it come out? Was it a game?
Yeah, it came out.
A while ago, been out for a while, and it's terrible. And don't play it; you'll be fine.
Okay.
That's
the Batman studio.
It's Rocksteady, right?
Like that's all you do.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever did Rocksteady ever do.
No, they did three games. They were all Batman, and then they did whatever this is.
They did three Batman games that got progressively worse, and then they made this.
Yeah, and I mean, I would say even Arkham Knight. Like, I agree, Jeff. Like, I think City's a step down from Asylum. I think Knight is a step down from City. But like, all three of those games are very good games. Like, even Knight, which I don't love, like, is a like when you get into the actual gameplay of it, it's a good game.
Yeah,
and then they release this thing. So Jason Schreier. He does these kind of retrospectives on games sometimes, and he did some reporting on this. He talked to 20 people that had worked at Rocksteady during the development of it, and I believe Earl just joined us.
Oh, hey, Earl's just in time. We're talking about Batman.
Earl, say goodnight.
No, we're talking about your Suicide Squad, Earl.
I did not read the article, but I imagine it was, we are got this game, it's gonna be fantastic, everybody has the Suicide Squad, it's gonna make us a ton of money. Yeah,
so well, on the Warner Brothers side, definitely they were like, this is gonna be our next this is going to be our next billion-dollar franchise, is kind of what they were saying. They were told, the leadership at Rocksteady was kind of told, hey, we want you to make this live service game. They're like, hey, we make single-player games. They're like, yeah, but this is, like, the game that you want to make right now is not the game we need you to make, so think up something. So they came up with this Suicide Squad game. And then evidently leadership just kept changing their minds on what they wanted the game to be. So it made it very difficult for the developers and the writers and the artists to do work and make it cohesive. And they were questioning why are we going from a melee focused game? Like, you know, what Batman is. Yeah. To a game where they're all using guns, and like, you have iconic characters that utilize, like, what, Captain Boomerang? He uses a fucking boomerang. Why is he using a gun now? And these were all like questions that developers and artists and people on the ground were asking, and leadership just kept shifting. They just did not have any coherent kind of focus for it. And then upper management leadership, Warner Brothers leadership, was like, yeah, this is great. This all seems great. It's going to be $1 billion. They were very shocked that it did not do well.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you're calling a spade, especially in regards to the Suicide Squad. It's clear that the Warner Brothers upper brass, though. I think a lot of people have asked this recently, with regards to the Suicide Squad, because, I mean, if you think about it, like, the first movie came out in 2016. So between, I think, 2015 and now, there's been two animated movies, two live-action movies, a video game. They're getting a new anime that premieres next month, and that is in addition to and a video game. And everybody's like, why are you trying to make Suicide? Because Kill You, Suicide Squad, I up them. I've upped them for a long time. But it's something the general public hasn't latched onto. I feel more so that it's we can get Harley Quinn, who's super popular, and the Joker, who are popular, into things. But as a concept, the general public has just not latched onto, and it's so weird that, I mean, you know, rewinding beyond, like, oh, these people don't use guns, you have a brand that people up that you could have tried a games as services with, but you made them bad guys of this game, and nobody wants to kill their heroes. And the problem, especially with Superman, is like, we've had evil Superman video games. That's the whole purpose of Injustice, to then do another evil Justice League game instead of having a Justice League game. Like, there's not a Justice League game that you can make. Oh, okay, he's, you know, like, there's a counter to that. It's weird. It reeks of corporate, like, oh, we have to make this a big thing, and nobody else is buying it.
Yep. One other thing on that I'm trying to find the quote that I highlighted earlier on this. So the studio heads left. They moved on from Rocksteady about a year and a half ago, I think, at this point. And this is just, it's just had me scratching my head because this. So I'm going to read this piece from Schreier's article. Later, when they started a new studio called 100 Star Games, they told potential recruits from Rocksteady that they would have the opportunity to make a game free of the mandates and pressures from a corporation like Warner Brothers. Which is, that's great. Except they just signed a deal with Xbox to make that game. Like, so yep. what are we doing?
it very much reminds me, I mean, to a certain extent, I forgot if you talked about this last week or if this is this week news, but Toys for Bob, who bought the independence from Microsoft to then go and sign a deal with Microsoft to publish their next game.
Yeah.
It's like, you're breaking up to just like, we're friends with benefits now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at least from there, it's like, all right, well, like, they're willing to give us funding to make our thing, but we're free of them. Like, you know, after this contract's up, we don't have to be part of them. It seems really weird to be like, we want to escape Warner Brothers. Like, publicly say we want to escape Warner Brothers so we don't have to answer to them. And to sign
a deal with the, like, the largest corporation in the world.
That's yeah. Good. What are we doing? Nutty. Yeah, so that's kind of a mess for Rocksteady. And it seems like they have moved some of Rocksteady is now working on whatever they're doing with Hogwarts. They're working support for Hogwarts while they kind of come up with their next game.
That's always just the rub with these things. It's like it's mandates, it's directions from the top, but if it bombs, I mean, not if it did bomb, but the people who feel it are the people at the bottom. Oh, you can't necessarily. Like, I mean, again, Rocksteady. When Arkham was announced, when Arkham was released, I remember the anticipation around that was nothing because they were a no-name studio.
Yep.
And they came out with, I mean, legitimately, a game of the year, to me, a game of the generation at the time, Arkham Asylum. And they became a household name. And then within that 15 years, you relegated them to support studio.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, let's just cycle back. One more. So we talked about Xbox Showcase, Earl, that's coming up this Sunday. Do you have any expectations, any predictions, anything you're looking for out of Xbox from that showcase?
I mean, honestly, it's going to be more the tightrope they walk between. We just laid off a crap ton of people and repositioned them, and we spent the first quarter of this year being, oh, some of our games are going to go to other platforms. Like, they really need to bring it so that people are not just excited, but buy into their game plan. I don't know if you folks talked about the rumor. Again, I just got in, so I've always seen headlines, but I saw that they were looking to potentially remastered or how Combat Evolved remaster and ported to the PlayStation, maybe?
Yes, we did not talk about that. That is a rumor that's circulating, varying degrees of like what that actually means.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, as we saw earlier in this year, because we talked about it when it was happening, Like, the rumors started from, like, Microsoft's going to port, like, one game over. Microsoft's going to port a few games over. To everything Microsoft makes is going to be third, like, a third-party title now. To, like, it being four games that I think two of them found second life and the rest of them people forgot exist. So it's very hard with those rumors. But again, it is something that's now in the back of people's mind. It's like, why should I buy an Xbox 4? It is. If there's potential for it to then be on a PlayStation or the Switch next year or a year from now, whatever. So that's the big one. The other one is really just like updates on a crap ton of projects they've announced. Perfect Dark, we've seen nothing of. I forgot if we've seen something of Avowed recently. There's just a lot of games that need updates. Like, I don't even need them to blow my socks off. I really need you to be like, the games we promised you 2 or 3 years ago are nearing the end game now.
Or more specifically, and then we talked about the dates right before you came on. A lot of the stuff they announced is 5 and 6 years old now.
Yeah. Like, I understand that it's a very different beast, but it does not really behoove us to. I mean, they are not a great publisher, and I think that has been their reputation for the past like 5 or 6 years. Is they buy up all these studios, and I'm all for giving them creative freedom, but at some point, creative freedom actually has to have an end product, and that's the part where you are not really just setting the world on fire. I mean, good or bad, I don't know where the general consensus fell on Starfield at the end of the day, but I will tell you that Starfield is less than a year old, and I feel like nobody talks about it. Where I felt like people talked about Oblivion and Morrowind for months and years afterwards. And Skyrim. Skyrim was the big one. I mean, people still talk about Skyrim.
Well, I mean, you could play it on your refrigerator.
Yes, so. But I feel like
Skyrim, Starfield, I've never heard of it.
I feel like Starfield came and went in a way that the others did not.
We'll see. I mean, I think that they will be showing off the first big expansion for Starfield. We'll see if that kind of reinvigorates interest in it.
I kind of feel like Starfield has potential.
Yeah.
They just came out with that huge update, which I haven't played yet, which actually adds maps. Like, the game was missing essential features it needed when it maps.
I guess I'm thinking of, like, because at this point, we've seen games that had kind of, like, you know, the prime example is always No Man's Sky. I think Cyberpunk was another one where it's like, at some point, it got into a condition where people who played are really into it and like appreciate what it became. But yeah, it's the people who still play it. Like, I feel like the window of like getting new people passed them by.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Or like Cyberpunk, from by all accounts, like their new DLC that they just released for it with, like, who the fuck is, who was, like, I didn't play it. Like, and I liked the game when it first came out. It's like, I don't know. I think a lot of places you have your window of like.
Yeah, you have. I mean, another example, and it's Multiverses that recently relaunched, what, 2 weeks ago? And I don't hear a lot about it. And it wasn't even a bad game. It just, like, you disappeared for a year to relaunch. People moved on. and so I feel like Starfield, again, I think Starfield can have DLC. I think it would be great DLC. And have a huge expansion, but at some point you need to get people back. And I feel like a lot of people were like, we invested time, it was fun. I might go back if a ton of people tell me it's great. New games are going to come out and people will forget about it.
You know, people will be back for the Elden Ring DLC because Elden Ring was great when it came out.
Yes, and I also think that's like, because again, people were invested in Elden Ring, people played Elden Ring. People played Starfield, but I feel like a lot of people dropped off or like, oh, this is good. With Elden Ring, where it's like, yes, to your point. Like, I literally talking to a friend right now who's like, oh, I just started a new build. It's a sword. What is it? Sword and Broad? This Sword and Board this time? Yeah. 2-3 years later, people are still doing that stuff. Where, again, Starfield, I don't know.
It was okay, but like, I don't have any desire to go back to Starfield. I don't know.
I'm still poking at it, so like I'll probably get the DLC when it comes out. So,
yeah, I put a lot of time in that game. I would definitely play more of it if the DLC was worth it.
All right. Well, one other piece here, and then we'll see if Earl has anything else. But Dragon Age, you guys remember that?
Sure.
Yeah. I do. So, Dragon Age, I forget what it was called.
Dreadwolf.
Dreadwolf, yes. Dragon Age Dreadwolf, the fourth Dragon Age game, is no longer. They've cut the Dreadwolf. It's now Dragon Age the Veil Guard.
Bride Protector.
The Bride Protector. Yeah. That's what they chose. And I guess there will be a showcase of Dragon Age this month, June 11th.
Next Tuesday.
They must have changed the storyline significantly so that the old title didn't make sense.
Yeah.
I hope that's what it is.
I am just so fascinated that they made a big deal by changing it. Like, it was like, oh, we got a new name. And then here's like, there's, I think, a half an hour gameplay thing next Tuesday or something like that. Yeah.
It's a bad name. Dreadwolf just sounded way cooler.
Dreadwolf sounds super cool.
I don't know. I mentioned this in the chat. I don't know what you guys feel on it, but
I made the same joke in the chat that I just made. So
yeah, the Bride Protector. Yes. This is the fourth game in this franchise, and I just don't feel that it has any real I don't think the series has an identity. Like, Mass Effect had an identity. Like,
yeah.
Dragon Age has been, each game has been something different, and I don't know what Dragon Age means.
The gameplay has been so different. They've been, like, the first game was an isometric RPG to its core.
Yeah,
and they've gotten like more and more actiony as they've gone along. I don't know. I don't know what a Dragon Age game is. I don't know what to expect from this one. I don't understand. Like, there's a community of people who really want this game. I don't really understand those people. Inquisition wasn't a great game. It wasn't that entertaining. It wasn't good.
The story wasn't engaging. I'll say this. I'm just here to piss people off tonight. Having played it recently and getting like very bored with it and finally stopping playing, its combat is better than Dragon's Dogma 2.
Okay.
I don't quite know what that means, because Dragon Dogma 2 isn't like...
The combat is not that good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
And the combat in Dragon Age Inquisition was all right, and it had, but
that's
you're
comparing two like different kinds of games, and one of them is like is almost it? A budget title.
I don't like.
What are you talking about?
Was Dragon Age Inquisition real? Like, I think Jeff, you mentioned for Dragon's Dogma, and I think this is very, very accurate, that Dragon's Dogma is more about like your journey in adventuring. Yeah. Like, it's really just about kind of like walking and exploring. And I never thought that with Dragon Age Inquisition. Like,
no,
it's more here's your quest marker, go to that and do the thing. And
no, yeah, 100% agree. But people love Dragon's Dogma. They talk up as like it's one of the best RPGs ever. I went from playing Inquisition this year to like a month after that playing Dragon's Dogma and going actually like back to back. And I was like, dude, the fucking combat in this is not as good as Inquisition.
Oh, like, that's fair.
And it's very similar, like very basic.
Like, you're walking around with a party of people.
Yeah.
It's actually, when you say they're similar, it's super similar. Like, you control one character.
Yeah.
Everybody else is doing whatever the fuck that they do. And I don't know.
But you know what shook up the combat in Inquisition, like gave it a fun wrinkle to me, was that there was these rifts that you would have to try to close while the combat's going on. So like And it would take time. It would take like 15 seconds. So you're like standing there hoping you don't get hit. You know what I mean? Like you're trying to close this rift to get the enemies to stop popping out. And like that to me is more fun than the, you know, the quirks of Dragon's Dogma 2. But I'm just going to shit on Dragon's Dogma 2 forever until we lose our listener.
Yeah. So like I understand why people like are like, I like Baldur's Gate, right? Like I get that. I don't understand what the appeal of, like, and Baldur's Gate has the backing of like 45 years of Forgotten Realms lore and storytelling, and like so it's this rich world behind it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, whether you know Jeff's not going to it for that, but he enjoys the characters that come out of that, and some of that is because of that. Dragon Age doesn't have that.
Like, yeah.
Why are we? And it doesn't continue. It's not like Dragon Age 2 was a continuation of Dragon Age Origins. It was its own story. And the same with Inquisition. And I assume the same with, you know, the Bride Protector. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But Earl, would you say next week?
Yeah, next
half Tuesday, hour. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. It's kind of like we were talking about the Arkane games. I feel the same way about the Dragon Age games. Like, each one comes out, I like them progressively less. Like, I love Origins. I think that was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Dragon Age 2 was good. Dragon Age 2, I got bored and didn't finish. That's kind of how I was with the Arkane games, too. Just similar experience.
Did you beat Baldur's Gate 3, Tony?
You know, I got really close to the, I was like 95 hours, man.
Dude.
Yeah.
You gotta finish it. Some of the battles in the final third of it. Oh my God, are so good.
Earl, did you notice anything else this week?
I mean, I feel bad because I don't know what I missed or didn't miss. But just before I will, I mean, this is the big weekend. Summer Game Fest is tomorrow as of this recording, so Friday, Xbox. But there's also what Data Devs and what Ubisoft, I think, is on Monday.
I believe Ubisoft is Monday, yeah.
And then there's the PC game. And I am imagining Nintendo will be there at some point next week or the week after.
Yeah.
Hopefully the week after. I already took off time. You folks talked about Octopath 1 and 2.
We did not, but yeah, they're out on Game Pass now.
Yes, they just randomly dropped. Well, the first one was on Game Pass and taken off of Game Pass, and now it's back. And then the second one just like shadow dropped. So that's exciting.
And in conjunction with that, the original Octopath Traveler is also now available on PS4 and PS5.
Yes. And I think there was DLC for like a super boss or something like that. That it was a very weird rollout. Let's just go with that. I don't necessarily understand this. And again, I read about this brilliant passing a few days ago. Is what is it? PlayStation VR? Is getting some type of attachment or cable to allow you to play like your Steam VR games or pay your like your piece some of your PC VR games on it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I assume this is the best way to buffer the VR library for any console or any platform, because it's a thing. This isn't news, but I feel like it should be said, because if you listen to this podcast in the next week, you can have an opportunity. That at Mo's Midnight Sun is currently free on Epic's game.
Yep. If you have the Epic Game Store, you can get Marvel's Midnight Suns for free on PC.
It might be my opportunity to finally play that game. Actually, while I'm saying that, I'm going to actually remember to claim it.
Make sure you redeem it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that right now, too.
Yeah, because when it came up, it was on my work computer, and I try not to dog onto a bunch of random stuff on my work computer. I don't know why. But yeah, I think that it's the calm before the storm, because like I said, there's like a ton of announcements this upcoming week that we can look forward to. Did you folks talk about Summer Game Fest and the thing that came out today about like the pricing for advertising?
We did touch the pricing. Yeah.
I don't begrudge it, but it's just like one of those things that makes you realize that it's not like as much as people want to claim like this is E3 or whatever. It's a scam essentially. I feel bad for the people who have to pay $500,000 for what 3-minute trailer at this vanity project.
I mean,
wow. I don't feel bad for them.
It's funny because our discussion was completely different.
Yeah,
give the money to me.
And it's also like E3, like it was run by the ESA, but to get a booth there, they were putting a good chunk of money into to get a booth on the floor and spending tens and tens of thousands of dollars to advertise their game.
The difference is, and it's a it's a cat and potatoes thing. Yes, that does not make any sense, which is the point. But I think with E3, because video games are at its nature, as much as some companies would prefer you not to remember, an interactive medium. So having to pay for space where people would actually go and play your games made sense. Having to pay to run a commercial in a commercial product still makes sense, but it's just not as fun.
Absolutely. It's not fun, but if you're paying for that, it's because you want the eyeballs that he's going to bring in.
Yeah.
And, are you going to get those eyeballs if you do it yourself? Maybe.
No.
Yeah. But spending $300,000 for an ad that gets you 30,000 sales is probably worth it.
Yeah, I mean, we shall see. But yes, I mean, my honest first thought was like, this explains why Nintendo's never on his show. They don't need to pay him for anything.
Well, that was something we didn't talk about, was that like big developers and big name creatives, that they don't have to pay that fee.
No.
So like Kojima's not paying. Like if he has Death Stranding 2 on there, he's not paying for that. Like, Keeley's just waiving that because he wants the prestige of having Kojima on his show.
He's riding that Kojima dick.
Well, because it's one of those things, to your point, like you said in the industry, like it's for developers to get eyes on. But in order for them to get eyes on, you need those games that people are interested in to get the eyes on. And you're not going to give us give us $500,000 for Death Stranding 2, give us like $500,000 for like the next Halo or Uncharted. Like, no, if Sony was like, oh, we want to reveal Uncharted, you're going to you're going to bend over backwards for it.
Yes. I do think that the one thing we did talk about, though, was that, Keeley was out there kind of like tempering expectations on it.
Yes. So
it's like, what does he have to show us?
And that I'm very curious.
Get excited for Ultimate General American Revolution, guys.
Do you think if they spent $250,000 for a 1-minute trailer?
Absolutely not. They're not getting that money back. It's exactly gone.
that's what I thought.
And then it's somewhat related, but I actually still don't really know what it is. IGN Live?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because I thought that was...
I know it's an event.
Okay, it's an event that you go to.
Yes. Okay. Which I guess would be similar to like a PAX East or a PAX West, but it's hosted by IGN.
Yeah, and I think in my head, it's just... Because IGN now is not the website. IGN is a brand. Because they were the friend that bought like a bunch of those video game sites recently.
Yes.
So like I hear IGN Live, I'm thinking like the website. I'm like, oh, why would like yeah, it's a brand. It's like ReadPop, who do all of like the New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Just hosting a but yeah, I guess again, it's like it's happening. I think it started today or tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yep. It's this weekend.
I just honestly don't know what's there. I know it's happening in conjunction with Summer Game Fest. I just don't know if it's like press conferences or if it's just like a hands-on demo in a hotel lobby or something like that.
It is at the Magic Box at the Reef. I don't know what that is.
It sounds very California.
It is in LA. It is a it's an event space that they hold trade shows in, I guess, in LA. And it's gonna, according to their website, it's gonna have exclusive reveals, new trailers and gameplay, celebrity panels and interviews, live episodes of IGN shows. You'll be able to play demos. There'll be photo ops, merch, special screenings, and you'll be able to like play stuff in the game lounge. And then they have a list of like stuff that's gonna be there. Stuff like a squirrel with a gun. That's one that jumped out at me.
Game of the year candidate right there, squirrel or gun. Yeah.
I mean, it's a very quiet year, so who knows?
Greedfall 2, it's like stuff that's like jumping off at screen at me. Funko Fusion, is that the Funko game?
Yeah, that's yeah. I'm curious about that. But hold on, this popped into my head, and I don't know if you folks talked about it. The Prince of Persia remaster stuff.
No.
Okay, just because I want to get on my high horse for a second, and as like I said, I mean, it's essentially the same thing I said on Twitter. I have Prince of Persia the same time. It's an amazing game. It was a fantastic experience. And I was excited for the remake, remaster, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And, I, you know, whatever it turns out to be, I will look into it. I would still be interested in it. But I don't, under any circumstance, understand why a remaster of this game has taken 5 years and added another development studio. Again, not the game. It was like one of the first games I remember how badly it bombed. I could be completely wrong, but I think it was a game that Ubisoft started giving out with other games like 3 months after it came out. Or it was a game that you could buy and you'd get another game for free. It was one of those two. I can't remember which one it was. But like nothing I've ever seen has ever said it's been a commercial success. The franchise continues to thrive. Like, I mean, they come out with games. I don't think the franchise has ever been a massive hit. So I don't understand investing all of these resources into a remaster that I don't see how you recuperate your money from.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So Sands of Time, I think, did really well. I think the one that you're thinking of was the... It was the Xbox 360 PS3 era Prince of Persia, which was just called Prince of Persia. That was kind of the one that they were giving away.
No, I think it was, I think it was Sands of Time. It was either that or Beyond Good and Evil. One of those games like the PS2, the GameCube era, where it was like, I think it came out like October, November, and like January of the next year, it was being given out with other titles. But again, I could be completely, I just remember it being like one of those things where I, again, played the game, adored the game, fantastic game. If you get an opportunity, check it out.
Let's see, Prince of Persia released in 2003, and by the end of 2003, it sold 2 million copies, so okay. It did pretty good.
Yeah.
Beyond Good and Evil, I don't think did as well. I know Jeff loves that game, but I don't think that did quite 2 million copies.
But yeah, I mean, because this is Because there was also that, it's been a very, because they also did another Sands of Time. That was the one on the 360 and PS3, right?
And so they did, there's three games. There's Sands of Time, Warrior Within, and the Two Thrones.
And then I thought they did another Sands of Time game.
Yes, they did the Forgotten Sands. That came out after Prince of Persia 2008, kind of bombed.
If you like Prince of Persia, though, it's worth playing.
Oh, Forgotten Sands is great.
Yeah.
But I think they did that in 2010 because 2008 Prince of Persia, which was like their reboot
of
it, did not do well.
Yes. And then it was also, I think, because they also did the movie, the Sands of Time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, again, really enjoy it, but it is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I agree with you. I also think that, like, I think Jeff would agree with this, too, that, like, you know, Beyond Good and Evil 2, they announced that, what, like, 15 years ago at this point. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah,
that one, I just don't get at all.
You're never gonna recoup that money. Yeah,
you're better served to just create a new IP. Then it doesn't have baggage. Like you're not gaining a ton of fans by naming it Beyond Good and Evil 2. Goodwill, but not a ton of fans.
In 2022, Beyond Good and Evil 2 broke the record held by Duke Nukem Forever. The longest development period for a AAA game.
Woohoo! So that also reminds me, just because I feel like we haven't stacked on it recently. Remember Skull and Bones? Like, it was a lot more interesting when it was in development than when it came out, apparently. So.
Absolutely true. You
can get it for 50% off right now.
That came out this year, didn't it?
It did, yeah. That game, at least, I do understand
why. Yeah. I understand why it came out. It's like you said that. I'm like, what was the? I'm like, oh, Skull and Bones was a long production, and like it came out. It was like, it's Duke Nukem Forever. It was infamous.
Yes,
Skull and Bones is just there. Not even there. It's gone.
Yeah, and I doubt they'll support it for much longer. Yeah. So that's. Do we got anything else? I think that's almost everything that's happened this week. So, well, it's not E3. Kicks off tomorrow. we're going to have a lot of game news talk next week.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. At the very least, I fully expect to come in here and shit all over the Call of Duty showcase. Tony is telling me I can't do that until next week. So
you have to at least pretend to watch it.
That's right. Give it a chance. Yeah, give it a chance.
Tony told me I have to give it a chance. So fine, Tony. I will give it a chance. I will watch the. You know, we're gonna shoot people in Call of Duty again. So we'll be back next week with all of our not E3 coverage. Look forward to that. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.